right, KFIZ News Time is 10 minutes past 10 o'clock here on this Tuesday. It's April 6th of 2021. Spencer Wagon here with you. And as we kick off hour number three of Fond du Lac Today here this morning, we'll take a time out to learn about some local history. Always chat a couple times a month with the Fond du Lac County Historical Society. And joining us on the phone lines is Ben Giles, of course, with the Fond du Lac County Historical Society. We're going to talk about the Roofing Leather Company. And actually, it sounds like there's a new online opportunity to learn about some local history coming up with the Historical Society launching later on this week. So we welcome Ben in on the phone lines here this morning. Ben, happy Tuesday. How are you today?
Happy Tuesday, you too. Doing just great. Once again, on the radio for another election day, but no politics today.
That's A-okay with us. I think we're all politicked out at this point. But, of course, Tracy, I believe she's a poll worker, so she always has to have off on these election days. So we're glad to have you on the show. And we talked about politics the last couple times you've come on the air with us. But today we're going to talk about something different. And I know in our conversations with Tracy, we've talked about the Roofing Leather Company. And it's really kind of an interesting history. And I know the Historical Society, you were telling me off the air, is launching a new podcast about local history later on this week. Is that correct?
Yeah. So we are launching, we're calling it Fireside Chats, where we bring in guests and we talk about different stories that have happened in Fond du Lac County throughout the decades. This first episode that we're launching is with a former council president, Mark Weber, served as council president in the 90s, and he has an interesting take on some of what happened at Roofing Leather when it was demolished by the city in the mid-1990s. And so roofing has such a great storied history, but really what we were seeing is that, you know, if you weren't alive or if you weren't maybe tuned in at the time, there's nowhere you can really find history like this. And so oral history is a big part of our culture in telling stories and passing things down. And so what better way to get people involved with history in the past by making sure these stories live on?
Yeah, it's really cool. I know there's a lot of different oral history projects out there, and you're right. So many things are lost because they're kind of in the minds of people. They're not written down anywhere, right? They're not documented on traditional pen and paper. There's so many great stories out there too that need to be accounted for in our world when it comes to history. And this sounds interesting. I'm a history geek myself, so I think I'll be taking a listen to this this podcast coming up later this week. But let's remind our listeners kind of about the basic history of Roofing Leather. What was it all about? Where was it located? All that stuff for folks who aren't familiar with it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Roofing Leather was one of the first businesses to establish itself in Fond du Lac in 1854 by Wilhelm Rooping. He was a German immigrant, 42, when he came to settle in Milwaukee, but the competition was stiff there in the leather industry, so moved to Fond du Lac with his tanning machine, and it cost $180 at the time in 1850 to purchase. And the first officially launched their business August 5th, 1854, right on Doty and Reese Street on the river. And the business prospered. I mean, they were in business in Fond du Lac for over 100 years. I think they officially went out of business in 1985. Unfortunately, they filed for bankruptcy, which, you know, when you have a storied history like that and how industries come and go in our country's history, unfortunately, they did have to file bankruptcy. But prior to that, they had a lot of really cool things that they do, not only, you know, for their business, but even some of the way they treated their employees was really, really neat.
What were some of the things that Roofing Leather made? Obviously, people can, you know, use some deductive reasoning and say, well, leather products. But what were some of the things that they made there, and what were some of the things that they were known for?
Yeah, so they obviously made leather products. But the most probably interesting thing that happened and kind of led to a new testing the market was Fred, who took over the business at some point in the 1800s. He had actually got mad and he kicked over a vat and he dumped a load into another vat that had Gambier liquor in it. And the resulting leather that came out of it was very, very stiff. And he talked about selling that and basically selling a more stiff leather at a reduced rate, and it was so popular that the wax calf leather was born, and that really is what boomed the business. I mean, the business was doing well, but as soon as they discovered that on accident by getting angry and kicking over a vat, it really took off. And then throughout the years, you know, they passed down the business to the next family members in line, and they became really experts in the tanning process and producing leather. They also purchased hides, and then, you know, going into the 1890s, they actually took the sons and they kind of reincorporated the business in 1894. And so it's really cool to see, like, one of the things that I really enjoy, you know, we talk about, like, quality of life and treating your employees right, and those sometimes seem to be something that we focus on only the last few decades, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the Rubings, they had it down. In the early 1900s, they, on the top floor of their three-story building on the corner of Doty and Reese, they built a club room for employees, and they had bowling alleys in there. I mean, those are things that attract employees nowadays. And just to think that Rupping was doing it already back in the day in the early 1900s is really, really neat.
Bowling alleys, that's, like you said, a kind of a modern innovation. You see, you know, kind of bigger break rooms, more you know, breaks, a lot of different amenities to attract workers and keep them happy. But that's like an early innovation right there here in our local area. That's pretty cool.
Exactly. They also sponsored a lot of recreational sports teams. In the 1917, the Doty and Scott Street was transformed into a baseball park, and Rupping decided to sponsor baseball teams there. They also sponsored basketball teams for their employees. So it's just really cool to see that some of those things that we now seem as commonplace, you know, were also being done, you know, in the early 1900s by employees that were employing hundreds of people in the Fond du Lac area.
Very cool. So let's talk more about kind of the theme of the podcast that you're going to be having later on this week with this Fireside Chat podcast. Don't obviously give away the entire premise of what you're going to be talking about, but can you give us kind of a little preview of what people might be learning about if they're able to tune in or download the podcast later this week?
Absolutely, absolutely. So City Council Mark Weber comes on and talks about his experience with Rupping Leather. After Rupping Leather was closed in 1985, it really just became an abandoned building right on the river where we now know Marine Credit Union to be. Mm-hmm. And Mark Weber talks through the process of what the city did in order to try to redevelop the area and try to bring business back to that spot. And the reason it's so interesting is because he actually discovers a very big key that helped move it forward. So it had been sitting there for almost 10 years at that point, and, you know, the city didn't really know what to do. There was a lot of environmental problems. With being so close to the river and with, you know, the EPA only being formed, you know, a few decades earlier, there were a lot of problems in the river and in the soil. And so Mark kind of talks about how he strategically got the DNR involved and the state to help clean up that riverbed and demolish the building so they can redevelop and put something else on the property. It's a really cool episode, and, you know, Mark's got a lot of cool stories as well, and his relationships and how he built those with the state really fascinated me, and I hope they'll fascinate a lot of the people that listen, too.
So if people want to take a listen to this later on this week, how can they go about checking out the podcast then?
Yeah, our first couple episodes are going to be on YouTube. We're going to try a kind of modified format where we have a video podcast where you can actually watch us talk, and we have pictures that go along as well. If it starts to get popular, we may launch it on some podcast sites. But you can go to the Fond du Lac County Historical Society YouTube page, and we're going to be posting it Thursday night and promoting it on our Facebook page. And, you know, making sure that oral history is kept alive here in Fond du Lac County.
Very cool. Ben, anything else going on with the Historical Society you want folks to know about this morning?
Yes, we have our grand opening coming up at the end of May. We have been we've talked about it numerous times. We have a capital campaign that's just finishing up. So May 29th, that's a Saturday, and Sunday, May 30th, we have more adult themed activities on the 29th, that Saturday, a live band, maybe some alcoholic beverages, and then on the 30th, some family-friendly activities, so you can come back to the village, see all the great improvements, and see the new life that's been injected into the Historical Society here and all we have to offer come our open season this summer.
Very cool, Ben. Thanks so much for the time, as always. We'll talk again soon. Have a great day.
Thanks, Spencer. You too.
Ben Giles joining us from the Fond du Lac County Historical Society. Be sure to check out that new Historical Society podcast. Sounds like a really interesting listen. You can check it out on their website and, of course, Facebook page. I'm following that and seeing all the cool local history pictures they're